Amen. All right. How many brought your Bibles? Did you bring your Bible? Come on, did you bring your Bible? Let me see it. Let me see your Bible or device of your choosing. Lift it up high. You got to bring your Bible to church. And why do you bring your Bible to church? To do what? That's right. You got to check the preacher out and make sure he's telling you the truth from the Word of God. Don't just assume because somebody calls himself reverend or pastor that they're going to tell you the truth. Amen? In these last days, you got to make sure for yourself that they're telling you the truth. All right. I want you to go to Luke chapter 11. And today, this morning, as we bring our 21 days of hunger to a close, I want to finish strong. How many want to finish strong today? And tonight, we're going to finish strong. I want to talk to you from the subject, push. Push. How many know what that means? Push. Pray until something happens. And for 21 days, we have been pushing. We have been praying and fasting for 2018 to be a year of breakthrough. Now, I know it hasn't been easy, but that's why we need to push. I know that you felt resistance. The enemy didn't want you praying and fasting, but that's why we say you gotta push. I know at times your faith may have wavered and you didn't feel like God was hearing you or God was answering your prayer, but that's why we say you gotta push. Persistence and perseverance in prayer, that's what makes the difference. Persistence and perseverance in prayer prevails. Everybody say prevails. That's why we say you gotta push. You gotta pray until something happens. Now, to understand the significance of this, I want to go to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read what Jesus said here in verses 5 through 13 as we get ready to push. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves.' For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his what? His persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you," Jesus said, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil," did Jesus just call us evil? Did you see that? "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Hallelujah. Jesus says here, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. Now, I submit to you that Jesus was not just speaking randomly. How many know Jesus never spoke randomly? Whenever Jesus chose certain words, he did so with purpose, right? And I want to submit to you that when Jesus said that we need to ask and we need to seek and we need to knock, that he is suggesting that there are 3 different attitudes or postures that we can have in prayer: asking, seeking, and knocking. And I want to talk about each one of these and help us to understand as we bring 21 days of hunger to a close how these different 3 attitudes can apply to us. Now, the first one is asking. Can you say asking? Asking is the easiest. Now, imagine it's like a child sitting on his father's lap, and the child asks his daddy, he says, "Daddy, can I have this thing?" And the daddy, without any effort or requirement on the child's part, says, "Sure," and gives the child what the child is asking for. The child asks his daddy loves him, and he receives. But it begs the question, why do we need to ask and pray in the first place? If I need something and God wants to give it to me, or if it's God's will that I should have something, then why does God require from me prayer and fasting before he gives it to me? Well, I believe it comes down to this truth. Prayer is not just receiving from God. Prayer is relationship with God. Let me say it again. Prayer is not just getting something from God. Prayer is relationship with God. Let me give you an analogy to explain this. When my kids were growing up around the house, there were always projects to be done. It's always chores, right? Chopping wood, cleaning the yard, building stuff. I remember one year we built a tool shed in the backyard. And all of my kids were involved in this project, just building this shed. You know, cutting the wood, nailing, carrying stuff, especially carrying stuff, painting. I mean, all the kids, they were all involved in this project. Now, how many know that I could have done that project on my own, right? And it would have been a lot easier had I done it. How many dads know what I'm talking about now, right? Okay. All right. We invite our kids to be involved in these projects and almost immediately regret it, right? Because I could have done it a lot faster. I could have done it a lot easier. It would have been a lot less frustrating, you know, having to correct all the stuff that my kids were doing. But in allowing my kids to be involved in the project, to be co-laborers with me, that means that we spent time together and our relationship deepened. In that process of being co-laborers together, my kids learned. They grew. They matured. They didn't just learn about how to build stuff. They learned about me in that time together. They came to know me more deeply and more intimately. They learned about my work ethic and my attitude and how I did things and how I worked through frustration and mistakes. And in that process, my kids even became more like me through that relationship of being co-laborers together in that project. Now that's kind of what prayer is. God could do whatever it is we're asking him to do, but he has decided to do it with us. He wants us to be involved in the process of bringing forward his will in the earth, of being co-laborers together with him. You see, prayer is not just us bringing a checklist to God for things for him to do. Prayer is not just, you know, pulling knobs on heaven's candy machine and getting God to drop down what it is that we want. Prayer is ultimately about relationship. And he wants us to pray so that in the course of relationship, we will talk to him. And then we will hear from him. And we will learn from him. And we'll get to know his word. Because how many know that the most effective praying is praying the word of God? Getting a word from God's word about your situation, right? And so God wants us to grow in our relationship with him as we are praying about these needs that we have. And in that process, we grow deeper. Our faith gets deeper. Our walk gets deeper. We mature spiritually as we know him. So when Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, now go to verse 13 and look at this. Again, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What Jesus is saying here is that in the process of you asking for whatever it is that you're asking for, God not only will give you that thing that's in his will for you to have, but he will also give you more of himself. He'll also give you the Holy Spirit. You'll get more of him, more of his presence, more of his character, more of his power in your life through the process of prayer. So it's not just about getting stuff from God, it's about getting more of him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He's more interested in giving you more of him than he is in just giving you some stuff. Amen? Amen, Pastor Greg. So Jesus says, ask and you will receive. James says, you have not because you ask not. Prayer, asking, makes a difference in our situation. How many believe that? We need to approach the throne of grace boldly that we may obtain grace and mercy to help in our time of need. We need to have our faith activated, believing, even though we can't see the change or hear the change or feel the change. We need to believe that all of heaven goes into motion on our behalf when we pray. That something happens when we pray. That does not happen when we don't pray. I know it's so simple and so basic, but it's true. He wants us to pray because he wants that relationship with us. So pray. Is there sickness in your body? Pray. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals all our diseases. Do you need financial provision? Pray, for he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Are your kids in rebellion? Pray, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you need guidance? Do you need wisdom? Do you need leading in your life? Do you need counsel? Pray, because the Bible says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, but let that man, that woman, ask in faith. He wants to give. He wants to release, but he wants us to pray because he desires more than anything, relationship. Relationship. But what are we to do in those times when we ask, but we don't receive? How many have ever been there? Anybody? Where you ask and you pray and you don't receive. Well, I think part of the answer can be found in the next statement that Jesus made when he said, "Seek and you will find." Come on, say it with me. Seek and you will find. Now, seeking is a little different than asking, because seeking implies that there is effort involved on our part. So instead of the picture of this child on his daddy's lap asking for something, imagine now he asks for something, but he's got to climb down off of his daddy's lap and he's got to go look around the room for it. It's there, but it's hidden. So this child has to go around and he's looking behind furniture and he's moving tables out of the way and he lifts up the rug and he runs into the other room and he opens cabinet doors. So he's seeking. So there's some effort involved in this level, this attitude of prayer. In other words, let's say you're praying for a job. You're asking God to provide you with a job. Well, you need to know that there's effort involved in that prayer, effort on your behalf. You got to get your resume together. You got to make some phone calls. You got to send your resume out. Amen? You got to try and get an interview. Then you got to be prepared for the interview. You got to dress right. You got to dress sharp in your interview. You got to learn how to talk. Amen? You got to learn how to talk. Right? That's the problem. You know, the problem's not always getting the interview. It's what happens in the interview. Okay? There's effort on your part. You've got to learn how to do your role in that process, believing that as you do your part, God will guide you and he will bless you and he will open up doors for you because you're out there doing your part seeking. Let's say you're praying for your marriage to be healed. Understand that as you're praying for that marriage to be healed, there's effort involved. Husbands, love your wives. Gonna let that hang out there for a little bit. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Amen? We love Jesus. We submit to Jesus. We follow Jesus. We honor and respect Jesus. Why? Because he first loved us. It was his ability to love us and demonstrate genuine love for us that empowered us to be able to respond to him with love and respect. Amen? And it's the husband's ability to demonstrate genuine love to his wife that empowers her to respond with respect. Hello? Amen? I didn't lose you on that, did I? So listen, brother, if you're praying for your marriage to be healed, pray. Amen? Pray. But Jesus said, don't just ask, seek. There's effort on your part now. You got to move around and do what you've got to do. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. And when she senses how much you love her and you're willing to give yours, and she trusts that you have her best interests at heart, how many are following with me now? that she feels safe, that you care more about her than you do about you. Hello? Amen? Right? So when she senses that, now she begins to respond to you, right? And wife, if you're praying for your marriage to be healed, the Bible says, wives, respect your husband. Let me say it again. Wives, come on, ladies, where are you at out there? Come on. Wives, respect your husband. I know some of you think of respect that fool. Respect that guy. You don't know what I got to put up with. Respect your husband. When your husband feels that you respect him, he's going to come alive. Hello? Hello? Come on, brothers. Where are you guys at now? I'm helping you out right now. Right? Learn how to speak with words of respect. Learn how to use a tone that shows tone. This is not a marriage sermon. Relax. I'm going to get off this in a minute. You just got to help me out here, all right? Tone. Sometimes it's not what is being said. It's how. Well, the brothers are with me now. Okay, they're getting it now. They're getting it now, right? So the point is this. If you're praying for your marriage to be healed and be restored, there's effort on your part that is involved. Seek and you will find. Get down off of daddy's lap and start looking around and doing what you got to do. Amen. Amen? Right? Now, some might say, no, God is sovereign. If God wills something to be done, he's going to do it regardless of my works and what I do. You know, it's all by grace. God, if God wants something, he's just going to do it. But the reality is who lives their life like that? I mean, really, do you wake up in the morning and say, well, if God wants me to eat something today, you know, somebody's just going to probably show up at my house with food for me. I don't need to go grocery shopping. I don't need to cook anything. I don't need to prepare. If it's God's will, then he'll just... Nobody lives like that. We don't live like that, right? Or if you were to go to the gym, right? And you were to say to the trainer, you know, how many know what a gym is? Anybody here? Just want to make sure. He's like, what's a gym, right? We had one speaker here a little while ago. He said he told us that he doesn't call his bathroom John. He calls his bathroom Jim. So that when people ask him, do you go to the gym? He says, oh yeah, I go every day, a couple times a day, in fact. So, right? Basically, the point is this. We know there are certain things in life that if we want them to be done, we have to do our part, right? There are those things that God has willed for us to have. But then there are those things that God has equipped for us to do ourselves, all right? There are some things we ask and God gives it to us. And there are things God says, you have a part to do in this. We cannot expect God to do for us in the supernatural what he has called us to do in the natural. Right? Let me say it again. We cannot expect God to do for us in the supernatural what he has called us to do in the natural. Don't pray for God to meet your financial needs if you're not willing to go out and get a job. Don't pray for God to heal you and make you healthy if you have horrible eating habits, a terrible diet, you never go to the gym, and you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. How many are with me now? I didn't lose anybody on that one, did I? Right? I mean, we got people that come forward and they want, you know, pray for me. I need healing, you know? And their lifestyle is so unhealthy. The things that they eat, they never exercise, and now they've got all this sickness in their body and they want, and we'll pray for you. I mean, we love you. We're going to lay hands. We're going to pray for you. But, you know, sometimes you got to seek and then you'll find. Amen? Right? So like you're at the gym, you know, and you tell your trainer, you say, here's what I want. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want my muscle to get toned. You know, I want to be able to run up the steps without being winded. You know, I want that 6-pack, you know. Some of us would just settle for a quart maybe, but, you know. But yet you tell the trainer, you say, but look, I want all these things, but here's the thing I want you to know. I don't do cardio. Don't do cardio. I don't do leg day, okay? God hasn't called me to that. I'm not doing leg day. And chest day, I'm not doing that either, okay? And the trainer is going to look at you and he's going to say, look, if you want these things to happen, there's effort that you've got to put forth on your own, right? Amen. So that seek and you will find. If you want breakthrough in your life, there are some things you're going to have to do. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, seek and you will find. Seeking implies there is some responsibility that we have in God answering our prayer. Amen? And then there's knocking. Now, knocking gives us the picture of standing on the outside of a closed door. Knocking. So you're standing on the outside and there is a closed door before you. Now, understand, and you're knocking on this door. Now, understand the nature of this illustration. There is a way in to that place where you want to go. Okay, whatever it is, there is a way in. Okay? In other words, God has provided for access. God has provided a way. And I take that to mean that it is within God's will for you to have this. There are those things that we know in His Word that it's God's will for our lives. Amen? He heals marriages. Amen. He saves lost people. Amen. He brings prodigal children home. Amen. He provides jobs for us because the Bible says that we ought to provide for our family. We know there are certain things that are God's will because it's affirmed in His Word. But the door is closed. In other words, that door into God's will of Him giving us that thing has not happened yet. So we're standing on the outside of God's will. We're knocking on the door and we're wanting Him to open it up to us. Amen? And we understand that there are three ways that God answers prayer, right? Yes, no, and wait. Wait. Amen. Wait. How many love waiting? This is why Jesus says, don't stop. Ask, seek, and knock. Don't give up. Keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Now, there's an important lesson in this visual of knocking on a closed door, and it's found in this truth. God is not interested in pampering us physically. God is concerned with perfecting us spiritually. Do you hear that? Let me say it again. God is not interested in pampering us physically. He's concerned about perfecting us spiritually. Amen? That's always His will in any situation. Now, let me ask you a question. How many have ever knocked on a door? You're somewhere, you're knocking on the door, you're trying to get in. And when you're there, standing before that door, how many times do you knock? Do you just knock one time? Just knock? It's not a trick question. No, you knock several times, right? Repeatedly. We knock, 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 knock. Right? We keep knocking. One times, three times, five times, whatever. We keep knocking, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about persistence. He's talking about perseverance, right? Right? Amen? All right? How many have ever knocked on a door before? Okay? Now, here's the thing. It's one thing to knock on a closed door. It's another thing to knock on a closed door, and while you're knocking, you know that there's someone on the other side of the door who has the power to open the door and let you in. Right? Imagine that now. You're knocking on the door, and you know that there's someone on the other. You know they're there. Okay? And you know that they can unlock the door and open the door, but they're not doing it. Now, let me ask you this. How would that go for you? How would you do in that situation where you're being forced to wait? Right? How many like waiting? How many like being slowed down? You like waiting, brother? You're a very patient man. Could you go stand out in the hallway for a little while? I was on my way to church this morning. I'm driving down Route 52, you know, where the two lanes merge into one, right? And I'm just coming up on there, and there's a truck in front of me pulling a horse trailer. And I'm thinking, well, I got just enough room. I can get in front of that because it's going real slow, right? And I would stay under the speed limit. Don't worry. And I'm thinking, and just as I'm getting ready to shoot past him, he pulls over in the middle of the road and he blocks both lanes. Right? You know, the easiest place to lose your sanctification is driving your car. Right? And the whole way to church for the next, what, I don't know, a couple miles, I'm thinking, I could be in front of this guy right now. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? But I got the victory. Hallelujah. I prayed for him the whole way. Prayed for him the whole way there. But, oh, the old shoulder action, yeah? From the patient guy here, right? He's going to, yeah. All right. But here's what happens. While we're on the outside knocking on the door, knowing that there's someone inside, there's something happens on the inside of us while we're waiting, while we're being forced to stand there knowing that that person is not going to open the door. There's something that goes on in the side of us. We're made to wait. We're forced into a position of patience. Yeah. We're forced. And I'll tell you, when I was driving behind that guy, I mean, all kinds of things were rising up in me. Right? Amen? But I was good, right, hon? You didn't even hear anything from me, did you? My wife is brutally honest. Right? But all stuff starts rising up. It's, you know, you want to complain, you want to murmur, you want to say things, right? You want to act out because you're denied, you're frustrated, right? And this is what happens. In this metaphor of us standing before this door, God's will is before us, but it's closed. And we're knocking, we're saying, Lord, open up and let me in, Lord God. Something starts to happen on the inside of us. Frustration, right? Impatience, anger, offense. Complaining. Why did that person get healed? Why did that person's child get saved? Why did God give that person a job? And we start questioning, we start comparing, and all of this dirt in us starts rising to the top, right? As we're standing outside of that door knocking. We're forced into a position of patience, and patience means to tolerate delay without being angry or upset. You're forced to trust. Even though you can't understand, you're forced to that place where I lean not on my own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all my heart, right? I just got to trust that he's good. I got to trust that he knows what's going on. I got to trust that he's the God who causes all things to work together for the good. I got to trust that he's the God that takes what was meant for evil in my life and he turns it around and he uses it. Hallelujah. He uses it. Amen. He uses it for the good in my life. Like Joseph, they threw him they sold him into slavery and he was thrown into prison. But all the while, God was working out a process. He was using all those things. None of those things were good. But when God mixed them all together, hallelujah, and presented the final product, it was good. And this is what happens when we're knocking on the door, standing on the outside, wondering, God, why don't you do what I'm asking you to do? He's dealing with the frustration, the anger, the impatience, all that stuff. Sometimes this is why God makes us knock. He wants us to face those things within us that are not his will before he lets us into the place of his will. Are you getting that? Right? Old-time Pentecostals. Old-time. Old school. I changed my language a little bit. Not old to old school. Right? Because I don't want to say you're old. Mature Pentecostals. Let's say like that. Okay? Experienced Pentecostals. Right? So, you know, there's this phrase that I'll say we had called praying through. Praying through. How many remember that term? Praying through. Hallelujah. Praying through. Praying through. Now, it's more than just a cliche. It means something. It means we're praying through. We're pushing through. Well, pushing through what? For me, you know what I take it to mean? Pushing through all of those areas of resistance that exist in my own flesh. Because you know what? I'm not really worried about the devil because the devil's defeated. I'm not worried about the devil at all. I really am not. I'm in the name of Jesus, the devil has to run, okay? Amen? So as far as the devil bringing resistance, I'm not. You know what? the enemy that I'm more worried about is the enemy in me. That's the enemy I'm worried about, the enemy right inside of here. And praying through means that I got to face all of those things in my own flesh, that because you know what? The spirit is willing, but the flesh, hello? The flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to fast. The flesh doesn't want to do any. The flesh doesn't want to come to celebration of praise. I'm telling you, when I said come tonight, your flesh rose up and said, you don't want to do that. Come on. You've been in church all morning. You're going to go back tonight? Right? And here, now here's the word for you. If you're a Christ follower, don't give in to the flesh. You've got to command your flesh into submission. Your flesh doesn't want to be here tonight. I promise you, your flesh doesn't want to be. Your flesh wants to sit home and watch the Pro Bowl. That's what your flesh wants to do. Okay? Command your flesh into submission. Pray through, right? We're praying through all of those carnal attitudes opposing the will of God, pushing open all of those doors that we had shut on the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, here's what God's saying. You want me to open doors for you. You're knocking on this door and you want that door to open, but I need you. Before I open that door to that next level of my will for your life, I need you to open up the doors that you've shut before the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's been knocking on your doors a lot longer you've been knocking on that door. And before I open my door to you, you need to open some doors to me. Amen. Right? Praying through. It's when we confront the reality of where we are spiritually. We start to see the attitudes. We start to see the sins. We start to see those things in our lives that hinder the will of God. Even those attitudes and those habits that we have that have facilitated the stronghold or the struggle that we're currently in. And God says, before I bring you to that new level, I've got to increase your spiritual capacity so that your character can sustain the next level of God, of anointing that I want to bring into your life. So he doesn't open the door right away. He leaves us in that place where we got to deal and we've got to work through all of that stuff. Because understand something, for some of us, our lifestyle will not be able to sustain that which God wants to release into our lives. We see it's in his will, it's in his word. But for some of us, our attitudes, those beliefs that we have, strongholds of the mind that rise up and argue against the truth of God and the word of God, those attitudes, those mindsets, lack of discipline, habits, all of these, I'm not getting too practical, am I now? Right? All of these things, what they do is they make it us unable to sustain and hold on to what God wants to release into our lives. And so God says, I have to deal with those belief systems you have. I've got to deal with the character issues. I've got to deal with the habits. I've got to deal with all that stuff so that you have the capacity. I've got to enlarge your spiritual capacity to be able to sustain what I pour into your life, right? So, for instance, I have people sometimes that come forward and they'll say, you know, the devil's really afflicted me. The devil's really coming against me and I need you to pray for me. And I'll say, sure, I'll be glad to pray for you. But listen, before I pray that the devil leaves you alone, we got to talk about what's going on in your life that allowed the devil to get in there in the first place. What doors are open to the devil and shut to the Holy Spirit? Because listen, if I pray for you and I can throw the devil off of you easy, that's easy. That's the name of Jesus, blood of Jesus. That's easy. That's the authority of God's word. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what happens when you leave this place. Because you know, when the devil jumps off of you, you know where he goes? He goes out into your car and he waits for you. That's right. He's just going out there, he's just going to wait because he knows you're going to just drive right back to the same place, doing the same stuff, saying the same things, believing the same things. Right? Amen? He's going to sit out there and say, go ahead, go to church, enjoy it. Go ahead. Do all your amen, hallelujah, all you want. I'll just wait out here for you. Right? And so the Lord brings us to a place where he wants to deal with the issues in our lives that have facilitated the entry of the enemy's strongholds in the first place. And if we don't deal with those issues that have facilitated the enemy's strongholds, then we do not have the spiritual capacity to sustain what God wants to pour into our lives. That was a long sentence. I hope it made sense to you. Push. Everybody say push. Pray until something happens. And that something may not be the answer exactly how you want it. That something may be something deeper that God wants to do. That something may be a deeper work in your spiritual capacity, a deepening your faith and your understanding of who Jesus really wants to be in your life. Let me ask the worship team to join me up here. We're going to have a little bit of time of worshiping and seeking God here before we close the service out. Remember the story of Mary and Martha in John chapter 11? When Lazarus became sick, Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus and they said, "He whom you love is sick, come and heal him." They sent a prayer request to Jesus. How many remember what Jesus did when he got that prayer request? Do you remember? He waited. The Bible says he stayed exactly where he was at and he did not lift a finger to help them. In fact, Jesus remained exactly where he was until that situation, not only did it get worse, it became hopeless, right? He died. Lazarus died. And then when Jesus got there to Bethany, Martha said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You'd have been able to heal him." So Mary and Martha, they had a goal for their situation. Their goal was simply this, that Lazarus would be healed. Just like you may have a goal for your life right now, healing, salvation for somebody. You have a goal. But in the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus had a different goal. His goal wasn't to heal Lazarus right away. His goal was to take Mary and Martha to a whole new level in their faith and understanding of who Jesus is. You see, they knew Jesus as the healer, but Jesus wanted them to know him as the resurrection and the life. He wanted to move them from this place spiritually to this place spiritually. He wanted to take them from this level of faith to this level of faith. And the only way to get there was through the sickness and the death of their brother Lazarus. They had to suffer loss. They had to experience that pain. They had to go through that season of knocking and knocking and knocking and the door not opening in order for God to accomplish in their lives what he knew they needed to receive. The Lord is not interested in pampering us physically. He's concerned about perfecting us spiritually. So you keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking. The Lord loves you. He hears your prayer. He hears your cry. He's in control. Your times are in his hands. Your tears are numbered. He sees it all. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you're marked in the palms of his hands. You know how? By the scars of the nails that went through him, hanging him to the cross. He loves you. He loves you. As you're praying and you're believing, know that you have a Father who cares about your situation. And he's working all things together for the good. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. And you're so faithful, God. You're so faithful, God. Even when we don't understand what we're going through and why we're going through it, Lord God, we declare that you are faithful, God. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not on our ability to understand why we're going through what we're going through. We trust in you, Lord. Trust in you, God. Some of us have been praying for 21 days now, Lord, and we haven't seen any change. We've been praying for healing and we've only got sicker. And we've been praying for our kids and they've only gotten more rebellious. And we've been praying for financial breakthrough and we can't find any jobs. And Lord, it doesn't seem to be changing, Lord God. But Lord, we trust in your goodness. We trust in your goodness, Lord God, that you take what the enemy meant for evil and you use it for good. We trust in, come on, say it with me, Lord, we trust in your goodness. Let's stand together.